We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke.
Lately it seems I've been thinking a lot of the troubles I have, things I forgot. Traveling blind and I feel I'm spinning out of control.
Local guitarist John Plankenhorn and singer Carol Ferrara have been playing together for more than two decades. Their current group, Electraviolet, is set to release an album this spring, which features a new set of original songs written by Plankenhorn.
Over the years, the duo has allowed their sound to shift and evolve, a choice that has given them more freedom to write and grow in their music.
Plankenhorn and Ferrara joined Lake Effect's Joy Powers in the performance studio to play a few of their latest songs, including this one.
I do believe in a better day. So if I get down on my knees, would you help me get home again? Gotta get home.
Find My Way Home, John Plankenhorn and Carol Ferrara. They're here in studio in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. They're from Electraviolet. Guys, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
So you guys have been playing together for more than 20 years. How did you guys get together?
Actually, before I even met Carol, I heard her singing on a cassette tape that she had made and had given to a mutual friend. And she was living out of town. And when I heard that she was moving here, I knew right away I'd had to play music with her. I loved her voice. It was beautiful. And I needed a music partner. So we got together, we started playing just at parties, we played at a friend's wedding, and then a few years later I was actually enrolled at the jazz performance degree program. It was UWM in conjunction with the Conservatory of Music, and every semester all the guitar majors would gather in the recital hall and have to play a couple tunes, and I had written a song called Silent Cry, and my teacher encouraged me to perform it with Carol, and we did, and we got a lot of great responses from my peers and from my teachers. And it just so happened I was studying jazz. Carol knew the lyrics to so many of these old jazz songs like My Romance, Darn That Dream. And so we started performing after that. Initially, we started doing jazz, but we always incorporated our own music and other genres, and we've been playing together ever since.
I'd say blues and R&B are really strong influences for us as well. And then John is a prolific songwriter. And so together, we've really enjoyed working on his songs. We have a lot of harmony-rich songs. I mean, almost all of them are. And so that's a great joy that we have a really good blend vocally and, to have met one another and to be able to develop our music over time has been really wonderful.
Yeah, tell us about that. You know, how do you write together? What's your process like?
I give him all the credit for the writing. I come in and I add a few ideas, you know.
I mean, basically, I wish I were one of those guys that walked around with a pad of paper and wrote these great, insightful views on life and did it and wrote them in beautiful prose. But I tend to come up with melodies and chord changes, and then I put words to it. And sometimes when you're writing a song, I'll have a whole song done. I'll know how the melody's going to go. And sometimes you just sing nonsense words just to have some lyrics going, and something usually grabs at maybe a poignant part of the song, and then sometimes those words stick, and sometimes they just come out. I wrote this one song that's going to be on our upcoming album, and the first line is, "Long ago I told you that I loved you, even though I knew you'd break my heart." I don't know where it came from. It just came, and then I developed a song out of that. And then other times I wrote a song for my son, Gavin James, and it just flowed right out, and so it's different. But what really makes us unique, or what makes this process unique, is then I take it to Carol and we work out harmonies and we really develop the song and how we're going to perform it.
So as you said, you do have an album coming out sometime this year.
Yes, it should be late this spring.
Okay, very nice. No name yet.
No, I'm. It might be Son of James, but I'm not sure. I'm not really sure the name, but we've got probably about a dozen songs.
Okay, so a dozen songs. Are they mostly new songs? Are they R&B? The first album was kind of R&B. What is this album?
The first album was much, much funkier and had some horn arrangements that I wrote. And this album, I guess it's a little bit more rootsy, a little more rock and roll. Most of the songs are newer songs, although there are a few that I've had in the catalog for many, many years. But they're all original songs, and they primarily focus on guitar, maybe some Hammond organ, drums and bass, and of course a lot of harmonies.
So you have another song for us.
Yes, I do. The next song is a song called Say It Isn't So. And it's really a song about loss, or maybe the anticipation of loss. That's why music for me is such a healthy thing. It's my therapy. You know, it's a way to experience joy, love, regret, and you can put it out in your music, and you don't keep these things bottled up.
Say It Isn't So. John Plankenhorn and Carol Ferreira are here in studio. They're from Electra Violet, and they're playing for us in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. Thanks so much. That was great.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So you were saying Say It Isn't So is about anticipated loss. What inspired this song for you?
You know, I lost my dad at a young age, and I think when you have an experience like that, you learn that we're here for a finite amount of time. I've lost, you know, in the past year or so, a number of friends and family members. You know, sometimes you worry about people and you worry about their health. And sometimes you wonder if they're going to be around much longer. And I think that's really where this song came out of. It was really just dwelling on these sometimes difficult subjects and finding and needing a way to express them. And that's really how this came about.
And what I love about this song is that it's such a love song, too. You know, it really says so much. And I love the melody of it. I love the lyrics. I love everything about it.
Carol, do you feel like you experience the songs a bit differently?
Why I love doing music with John is that I feel these songs. If I can't relate to a song, it's really difficult to sing it. And when he was talking about his writing process, I mean, oftentimes when he's got a melody, I can say to him, oh, this song feels like it's about something in very particular. And so, you know, I resonate with John's music.
I mean, I'm sure that's come with time. You guys have been playing together for more than 2 decades at this point.
Yeah.
How do you feel like your sound has changed and evolved over that time?
I think it's gotten more polished. And, you know, I know for me personally, I've gotten to the point where I give myself permission to play whatever I want. You know, I mean, I was trained in jazz and classical music. And sometimes you feel like, oh, maybe this song has to change keys and maybe it needs to modulate here. Or maybe I need to do something more complicated there. And sometimes, you know, a song is just a song. It might just be a 3-chord song. But if it sounds good and if it hits you emotionally, then it's good. And so I think over the years, we've just kind of broadened what we do and we've just allowed ourselves to be comfortable with the place we're in at that moment.
You guys have been in Milwaukee now for a while.
Yes.
Do you feel like it's difficult to get booked and perhaps more importantly paid in Milwaukee?
I'll tell you this. I've got a lot of friends in town that are full-time musicians. We both have day jobs and we have our whole adult life. It seems the musicians I know that are full-time musicians, they're very hardworking. Most of them teach a lot to subsidize their life. And most of them join cover bands. Cover bands are really the bread and butter of a lot of musicians. I've been approached on several occasions to join cover bands, which would keep me busy almost every weekend throughout the year. But we've chosen not to do that. I mean, I'm not going to try to be somebody else. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's some great, great musicians that I know that are in cover bands. And I'm certainly not knocking it. But it seems like that's a way that a lot of musicians make a name for themselves and are able to get booked consistently and get paid. You know, for us, we're really more interested in a listening audience. You know, we've played Jazz in the Park. We've played Summerfest, Chill on the Hill. We've played bigger venues. But it does remain a challenge to make a living at it. It's difficult, and probably it's no different than in any other city. I have friends, very good friends of mine that I met at the Conservatory of Music that have moved to Austin, and it's the same thing there. I mean, I think both of them are in cover bands, and I was just talking to somebody the other night from Austin. He said, yeah, a lot of times musicians come there. They think they're going to just jump in the music scene and make a lot of money, and they're at the back of the line. They're playing for $50 at a bar somewhere. So it's, I don't think Milwaukee's any different, but it is a challenge. But what we try to do is keep playing our music, keep playing what feels right to us. And if we put our whole heart and soul into it and people respond, that's what matters most to us.
Do you feel like Milwaukee is receptive to smaller acts without a national name?
I think they are, absolutely. There's a lot of local bands and groups that have been playing for many years that are very well respected in this city. I mean, we live in a city where we have world-class musicians. We have I mean, look, I play guitar. I can rattle off a dozen or more names of guitar players that are just amazing that live right here in the city. So I think we do have a respect for it. I would just say that, you know, as a listener, I would hope that we would be sometimes a little more open to maybe listening to something different. You know, I grew up listening to the music of the 70s and the 80s. And personally, the music from 65 to 78, I think, was some of the best recorded music in history. But I don't necessarily have to hear, you know, a band play that. If you love classic rock, that's great. Maybe go hear a jazz quartet. Maybe go hear an artist that's maybe writing their own music or doing something a little different, maybe alternative country or whatever it might be. I would just like, as listeners, if we kind of avail ourselves to something broader than maybe what we're used to.
you've toured around the Midwest, but you've actually also done several tours in Ireland. What's it like to bring very American music to a non-American audience?
I think they were very interested in us, you know, because we were American. What we found, too, I think very consistently, is that the Irish audiences that we had really were there to listen. They socialized. They had a really good time. But they really paid attention to the music. They'd come and commented on, you know, the influences they heard in different, you know, songs that we performed. For us, it was wonderful to be in a culture where there's such a tradition of appreciation of music, all kinds of music, and presence, being really present to it. It's been a great experience. We hope to do it again.
Has anything you heard there worked its way into what you do now?
You know, I think whenever you go to another country, I think there's something that stays with you. You know, one thing that really struck me in Ireland is one day we were invited to a friend's house for a party, and there were artists, there were musicians there, and there was one guitar player. He sang and wrote songs, and he plasters homes. You know, but he had amazingly beautiful voice, great guitar player. He was good as anything you could hear. And there was another friend who, he's a fisherman. So every day he's out on the sea and he's fishing. And he comes in on his dinghy and he's got his yellow raincoat on. And he writes these great songs that are very heartfelt. And, you know, it really helps you realize that no matter where you go in the world, there are amazing musicians, and they may not be people you've heard on the radio. We tend to idolize the one half of a percent of people that make it big and famous. And we think, oh, they're so amazing. But there are so many great musicians that live just down the street or in another country down the road. And they're amazing. And it's inspiring. It's humbling. And it's just great to know that there are so many musicians out there that are doing their thing.
So you've been doing this now for more than 20 years. Are you where you want to be, or do you have ambitions beyond Milwaukee, beyond the Midwest?
Well, I am leaving a lot of these comments to John, because I know that we might have a different response to that. I'm a singer. Not only do I love to sing, I need to sing. So to be able to do this is really fulfilling to me. Even if we were, you know, in a friend's living room singing and playing, that takes care of me in a lot of ways. I'd like to have a broader audience for our music, so I don't feel as though we've really gotten there quite yet.
Yeah. I mean, I think for us, again, to be able to write your own music and to be able to perform it for people, and when people connect to it, you know, I was talking earlier about that second song we play, Say It Isn't So. You know, when you write a song like that, and then after a performance, if someone comes up to you and says, wow, I could really connect with you on that song. I mean, to me, that's what it's all about, because it initially comes as something from within you that you have to express. But then if you perform it for somebody and they really relate to it, now it becomes a point of connection. And then that's what it's all about for me. We're going to keep playing and we're going to keep doing gigs, and we hope to reach a broader audience. I mean, we did really well with online sales with our first CD, so we're really hoping to do the same with our second, and we're certainly hoping to reach a broader audience and, you know, have people experience the music that we want to bring to them.
Great. So you have one last song for us.
Okay.
What is it?
This is a song called Today.
Do you see Elena? Smile at her reflection. There's another world out there. I see it in her eyes.
Carol Ferrara and John Plankenhorn are Milwaukee-based musicians. Their current group, Electroviolet, is releasing an album this spring. They spoke with Joy Powers. You can find out more about Electroviolet at WUWM.com. And you can find out about everything that you've heard today on Lake Effect at WUWM.com. Thanks for joining us. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Hope you can be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee.
Fresh air comes your way next, so stay tuned. It's 11 o'clock.
My life was an open book. You could read between the lines. Every time you smile, you bring me newfound inspiration. Now I realize I find today, I've got a little bit of hope to carry me today.
you came to me. You give a little love tonight.